Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday. I guess my microphone. I just noticed. I think our guest is here. And good morning. Welcome, Tori.
Good morning.
It's today is Monday, and the date is January 16th, and we're here with you.
Nice.
And okay. All right. This is the way we have to start the show, but that's what happens when people don't get here on time. All right. So we're going to have the guests coming in a few minutes. And good morning to you, Tori.
Good morning.
I love when people do this to my show. You see? When you show up on time, then there's no problems. When you don't, there's problems.
There's problems.
Welcome to the show, folks. Monday, January 16th. We're back from a nice weekend. How was your weekend, Tori?
Lovely. Very
you
nice.
You had a birthday party.
Yes,
a 1982
nice.
Theme.
Yes, everyone
you
came out.
You won't let us forget that.
No.
Okay.
Clearly not. Yeah, everyone showed up.
Yeah,
people actually showed
good.
Up.
Yeah.
They came in costume. They had a lovely time, and it was a success, so that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So everybody dressed as funny things.
Yes.
And you dressed up with the towel, you
yes.
said, right?
And people thought I wasn't ready for the party for several times until I told people, no, I'm not. This is my costume.
This is your costume.
Yes, it's not that
so
I'm not ready.
So they thought they arrived at your house
correct.
And you're not ready.
Correct.
Wow.
Which, to be honest, I've done before. I'm not, you know, but, my friends are good friends. I can, you know, but no, this was prepared.
And it was a convincing costume,
very convincing.
Obviously.
Looked great.
They didn't realize you were in costume.
No, very, very realistic. So, yeah, everything was great. We went to the party store. We got all these 1980s posters and things. It was great.
Wow, how
yeah.
cool is that? So have you been to other themed parties before?
Yeah, I've been to, we had a 1994 party, and I've been to one where everyone had to come as the letter C, something from the letter C.
The letter C.
Yeah,
why is
it
that?
Was her name was like Catherine, and it was like everyone. Oh. I mean, there was other. It wasn't the best, whatever.
No.
But there's very specific ones in New York that I remember. There was one like you all come as the same horoscope, like all Capricorn party. So it's all Capricorns all together. And then there's one where it's the same height party, and you all stand on different sized buckets until everyone is the same height as everyone else. So
yeah.
you're all talking to each other.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So it was a beautiful weekend.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
I
my
mean,
God,
Saturday was a beautiful, beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky in Southern California. It was just amazing. So I was just outdoors. I didn't want to stay inside. I mean, who could? You
did
know?
You camp? What did you do, walk around?
No, I did not camp. I did not camp. I mean, it's very cold to camp out.
Yeah.
You know? So I still, no, I'm still in the planning stage
We're
of
very
the camping.
Planning. We're planning for a long time here.
Yeah, exactly. But I've had to take a break for the fall and the winter.
Oh, I feel you. Okay.
Yeah,
see, I'm
exactly.
such a not camper. I don't know. I also just went to a baby shower and brought like wine or champagne. And I was
really?
Like, maybe I should have brought like a baby thing. So I'm not good with things like that. But yeah, I guess it is cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not good with giving gifts or
I
picking
am, but
out
like
gifts?
With babies, I'm confused as to like what age I'm supposed to give them. Like,
right.
do I give them a robot gift when they're 3 months, or is that too? Or like, what can they choke on something? I don't. Here's some champagne. I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why you got to go to the store and ask somebody
I know,
to help you.
I know.
That's why they're there.
I
you
know. I'm like, sometimes I don't know the age of the baby because they all look kind of very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I know. Well, when I go and get something for kids, I look at the age on the box, and then and that makes it pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll just give champagne.
You don't know what they're going to be able to do or not do, you know, those kids.
I know.
But but a baby, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Wine yeah. is not...
No, not appropriate.
Wow. So our guest arrived. We're going to get to him in just a few minutes, which is great. We have another beautiful day out there today, Tori.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe not a beach day, but it's still pretty nice out there. Also, we want to talk about the fact that it is Martin Luther King's Day.
Yes.
And what can we say about that that we haven't really discussed? I mean, an historic figure made profound changes in our society.
Could not be more relevant today.
Right.
Could not be more relevant today.
Right. So not a lot has been accomplished since then.
A lot has been accomplished in terms of legislation. I think even in Obama's farewell speech, he talked about how, you know, race isn't over. Racism isn't over. And I think Martin Luther King Jr. thought that and knew that. And he knew he wasn't going to make it to the end. His last speech, he talks about being Moses on the mountaintop. And he's like, I'm not going to see the end of this.
Right.
So he led.
So it's not just about the laws, but it's about people.
Yeah,
people haven't
changed. And luckily, the younger people, when they poll the younger generation, again, very different in terms of race relations than even, I mean, as soon as these, sorry, old white guys die out, where you have...
Yeah, that's around the world. We have certain like ancient generations.
Yeah,
that need
you know,
there's
still
on.
And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, 1968 is not a long time ago. That's when he was assassinated. So this is still very fast for America. But you know, it's interesting. Donald Trump is going to meet with one of the sons of Martin Luther King Jr. to see in a meeting today to honor him.
Okay. So I don't see the point. I mean, he like scores a couple points and then he destroys it.
Yeah,
it really does. With something
just
else.
In flames.
Yeah.
When he went after John Lewis, who is a congressman and someone who's had their head bashed in four times and walked with Martin Luther King Jr., is a beloved civil rights activist, he said, oh, he's all talk, no action.
Really?
On Twitter. Everyone's like, wow, you picked the wrong dude to say that to.
You know what? I mean, he may be the coming president, but get the fuck off Twitter, man.
Twitter,
it's going to kill him, man.
It's going to kill us. Yeah. We're going to get killed. Something terrible is going to happen. But yeah, so we all should at least think about the great reverend and what he did and our actions and our thoughts and what we can do to make the world a better place today.
Hallelujah to that.
Hallelujah
Amen.
To that.
Yeah. So the thing is, we're talking also about... well, you know, I mean, this is about wealth, okay? And this is like this blows my mind because they're talking about the 8 men that are richer than 3.6 billion people combined.
Yeah. 8 people who are, is it
so half
the world?
So
half
of the world, right?
They're richer than half the world.
They're richer than half of the world, 8 people among them.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Amancio Ortega, Larry Ellison, and Michael Bloomberg. So obviously,
there's no women. You're saying
no women.
Okay,
that's exactly
I just wanted
what
to bring
I'm
that
saying.
Up. Thank you.
Oh no, that's what you're saying, but I can't refute that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's changing. I don't know. But right now, and obviously, most of them are in tech too. You know, we've got Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and Larry Ellison. Mm-hmm. So, wow. You know, but that's where the money's at. We need to learn to make a little bit more money than we are now.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit more. I mean, how, you know, what kind of a life? Look, once you get to a few million, which is life-changing, right? Then I think things are pretty much the same, right?
I mean, yeah, there's uber rich, but there's also Warren Buffett, who's so uber rich that he's giving it all away.
Right, exactly.
There's
what
a billionaires club of famous billionaires that have signed it that they will not live out their money,
right.
Meaning they won't die with money in the bank. They will give it all away to charities and that yes, their sons and daughters will be helped, but that they will not die billionaires because the world needs it.
There you go. You know, and I mean, you leave your kids so much money and you ruin their lives.
Yeah,
I think,
which is what Warren Buffett, he's a great article about it, how he left his kids not a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not about to do it to them.
Yeah,
you
leave
know?
It so they're comfortable. Yeah. I mean, shit, even $10 million would be nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it would really be nice.
Right, wouldn't it be nice? And what I'm saying to a person is once you get your nice house, your nice cars, your yacht, your airplane and stuff, what is there left to spend your money on, you know?
Exactly.
So you got to be a philanthropist, you know? And
that's something I always think about with Steve Jobs is he was famous for not giving away his money. I really love Steve Jobs and I look up to Steve Jobs. But the thing against him with Bill Gates is Bill Gates is such a philanthropist and Jobs just didn't
His mind
have that
was somewhere else.
Right, yeah, it really was. It was changing the world too in a different way, you know? Where's my iPhone?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently and and just arrived in time, which we're very grateful for. Welcome to the show. We're joined by Darren Knight. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having
obviously.
Me.
Are you traveling here, visiting LA?
Just visiting, yeah. We have some business to take care of while we're in town, so we took a few days to go ahead and knock that out while we're here.
That's awesome, because, yeah, they told me that you're only going to be here a few days, so we made room because you seem like a fun guy and everything. So thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. Where are you visiting from?
I am from Alabama.
Mm, you can tell.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. Screams Alabama.
Wow. So that's cool. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, and then we'll find out why you're here that stuff.
I just had some videos go viral, and the rest is pretty much history. I mean, it's pretty simple. I do these Southern Mom videos. I'm a character, Darlene, and all I really do is just kind of, I just posted the first video of Darlene going to pick her kids up at school, and some of the things that people have to deal with.
When was the first video?
It was September of year before last.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So I haven't been doing it too long. And I did. I got inspired by something I had seen on social media. I thought I could do it better. And I did. And it went on from there. So
that's awesome.
Did the first video go viral?
Yeah, it did. Of this character anyway. Yeah. I remember thinking it just would be the coolest thing if this thing got like 5,000-6,000 views, and by the end of the week it was at like 10,000, and I think that video sits at like 9 million right now.
Damn.
So
wow,
it's crazy.
Now, how do people even start noticing it in the beginning? I mean, there's a million videos up there, right?
True.
So somebody goes, you decide I'm going to do a crazy video. You post it, and how do people discover it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I think that's kind of a beautiful part about our generation too, in the sense that we choose what we think is funny, and it's not being influenced by who knows who and whose uncle's working this. It's like America kind of gets to pick what they think is funny and what's not. And I just put it on Facebook. And I mean, social media is extremely powerful. And
did it get usually someone reblogs it, right, onto a bigger, some kind of magazine or something, and then it goes crazy viral.
Yeah.
Did someone reblog it on theirs?
I think that was the case with the last video that we posted. Posted one the other day, and it went viral the first day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that video, I think it was 4 days old, it had 24 million views.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think what happened there was it was a weather-related video, and what had happened was there was a lot of meteorologists on the Eastern Seaboard that started to see this. Only when they would share it, they would actually share it through their news broadcast.
So it went to everyone.
Facebook.
So it went to
so
everyone.
So anybody, from the 80-year-old woman down the street that only watches the news to the 13-year-old on her way to school or whatever the case, they see this. And
So it kind of grows. I mean, obviously you start with a small audience, and something makes it grow like a snowball. You don't necessarily post it up there and it starts immediately. Right?
Well, he did, which is amazing. Very rare, very rare.
Very rare. I got very lucky.
I just missed on that. I'm sorry. I was totally distracted. But so I missed that part. So you're saying that immediately this happened to you?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's just, comedy to me, I don't know how y'all are, but to me some of the funniest stuff is stuff that we can relate to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as pumping gas at the gas tank or whatever. It's just dropping your phone, bus, just anything that you can kind of turn and flip that people can relate to. It's relatable material.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think that this Southern mother, boy, she is very relatable from mothers from the West Coast to the East Coast.
And when I watch your videos, it's not like you really change your voice like all that much. It's just you kind of, right? Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, because I was like, wait, this guy, it sounds... It's not like I'm a Southern mother. Like it's just his voice, but it's just really funny stuff. Yeah.
Wow, that's absolutely funny.
Which is even funnier, I think.
It is, and I think that we have dressed the character up.
Yeah.
And we've done a few videos. We did some filming during Christmas time for the videos that we just released with Darlene in character, and people are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And they liked it, but then some wanted me to go back, and then so they like both, and you can talk about this all day long, but I think that's a huge chunk of the comedic relief in this video is that you can clearly see I'm a man. You can clearly see I got the goatee.
You didn't really try right? that hard no, to like cover. No. Yeah. And it's sort of amateur style, which is always really funny to me.
Absolutely.
Like it's a handheld, like he's in a car. It's really good.
Yeah. Wow. That's
and the awesome. Videos that we get the most amount of response from, believe it or not, are the ones where I'm just holding my phone.
Yeah.
Up, you know, there's no cameraman. There's no sound guy. It's just me. And so anyway.
That's the best one, right? And that's what people like. They like that spontaneity.
Authentic,
you know? That,
I think so.
Yeah, authenticity, you know? That's
this,
awesome.
This generation is like also for stand-up comics. If you are not an authentic human or genuine human being, you will not do well.
Yeah, no.
And you could have kind of put on like Johnny, you know, not Johnny, but people put on an act for a while. But this generation is very much like you are you.
Mm-hmm.
You create, you generate your own stuff. It's very authentic.
And it's accessible, right? I mean, you could never do this before where you can reach so many people so quickly and so effectively, you know?
Right.
So you can create an audience quickly. Now, so we'll get to what you did before and everything, but I'm really curious. So how did you get into this character? I mean, how do you, out of all the things in the world, you pick a Southern mama?
Well, that's a good question. I guess because I can just relate. I have a very vivid imagination. I think most comedians do. We can kind of, you know, build things in our head and how we want it to come out. And we're able to, if you can communicate that out to people, that's that and then timing. And I say all that to say this, you know, when it comes to the videos and how I'm able to maybe portray or, you know, reenact this character so well is because I distinctly remember my childhood. And I remember being raised by, you know, we had... my grandmother would always come over, and you know, my mom and my aunts, and they were constantly getting on to all of us when we were children. And you know, it didn't have to be just your mom to whoop your ass if you had misbehaved. You know, you would have three or four different mother hens coming at you. You know, and so remembering how I was raised and hearing the things that they say, and my grandmother, I like to say that she inspires 60% of the character because she's so much out there. You know, mm-hmm. she's just a you know, y'all come here to me, and you know, y'all get over here and sit down. You better eat all that squash. Just the craziest shit you've ever heard.
Yeah,
you know, but it was the way we were raised, and it was just, you know, things we heard growing up.
Yeah, so that's just the way they were, you know, and they were full of personality, obviously, you know?
Absolutely.
Not just somebody sitting in the corner, you know, but someone that's memorable.
I can remember my grandmother seeing people that we, ladies that she recognized in public or a friend of mine's parents, and she'd walk up and, well, hey, hon, how are you doing? And she's reaching over there and grabbing their elbow while she's shaking their hand and hugging their neck and rubbing their ears. And, Lord, that cream you're using on your face must just be touchy-touchy and all up in your personal zone, you know. But, I mean, that's just the way she was, and that's just the way they are. I say was. She's still alive. So.
Does she enjoy watching them?
She does. Yeah, she does. She sees a lot of herself. She knows it. So,
So you grew up, in a small town?
Yeah, well, yes and no. We grew up in a riverside community called Southside, Alabama, down below Gadsden. And, we were just river rats. We just were born and raised on the water and not doing the pontoon boat, riding the four-wheelers, you know, out in the country. And we,
how cool is that?
I know. It's so different. Like, such a different life.
It is. You
know,
I love rivers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Isn't that cool?
I like looking at the rivers. I'm scared of, I can't see below.
Yeah, some of the waters, like where we come from, they're very they're heavy with like minerals, so it's brown water. But I mean, you know, it's
I'm just
fun.
Being a puss. I know.
No, it's fine. No, brown
water is not attractive to swim in. Right?
Very, right?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you guys go in the water?
Oh yeah, we swim all the time. We'd ride jet skis and water ski, and I like to do the inner tube thing. We'd pull the inner tube behind the boat.
Tubing's
great. Oh yeah, and then so we horseback riding, four wheelers. I mean, it's just a different life.
It really
in the
is.
South.
It
and
really
I,
is.
I enjoy that. Y'all have a beautiful community out here.
Right.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm getting that damn plane. No, I love this. This is I like looking out my window and just seeing kind of fields and trees or whatever. I guess I'm weird. I don't know. But to me, it's just very kind of thing. You know, it's just where I'm from. It's what I like. But,
right.
You know,
but here it's all buildings and concrete and asphalt.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the energy like? Like, as a comedian, you are empathetic to energy and you know the crowd is either cold or warm. What do you feel is the difference in the energy of your audience between a Southern audience and an L.A. audience?
Well, I think you'd be surprised. I mean, I think a lot of comedians would. I think, you know, people look at the South and they're like, you know. You got to watch what you say. And, you know, you'd be surprised. I think that a lot of the people in the South are coming out of their
A lot of good comics.
Entertainment shell, I guess you could say. But yeah, and some of the greatest comedians that's ever been in this country have originally from the South. Yeah, and it's just because it's that relatable material that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that a lot of Southern people could sit down and talk to you about something as simple as making damn oatmeal and have you laughing by the end of the conversation. But it's something that no matter where you are, you're going to eat breakfast. You know, it's stuff you can relate to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Did you grow up with siblings?
I did.
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had a stepsister and one biological sister. Her name's Devin, and we had a family of five. My mom, I'm a child of divorce. She remarried when I was six, and so he had a daughter. She was about my age. So, yeah, I had two sisters, and
a lot of females. Yeah, that's where the estrogen's exactly. That's where he's getting all his ideas
exactly.
from.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it gets to be a Southern mama papa, right?
That's right. Southern papa is like, whoa, Southern mama is funny.
Yeah, no, they had their girlfriends over. My sister was cheerleader, and my mom's, her friends would come over, and then my grandmother. And so, yeah, it was a very heavy estrogen level type situation. Yeah, yeah,
that's cool.
And what happens? Yeah. He has success. That's what happens with estrogen.
Exactly. See what? How did I know she was going to say that? By the way, speaking about, I know I don't want you ever watching our children.
I know.
Did you say earlier you just give them champagne? Like, who the hell shows up to a kid's birthday party with a bottle of champagne?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that was for the mother, though.
No, obviously. And it was pink, thinking like that's more babyish, like this rosé. And I'm like, what a fucking idiot you are, Tori.
Yeah, no.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, you need to talk to Miss Manners, maybe.
I know.
What was the age limit on the bottle? Did you see that?
Yeah, it was like 0 to 30. No, it was like, bad idea.
But you had the good intention, you know?
My intention was like, what would I want at this party? Yeah, that's right? Not a good intention. No, selfish.
No,
that's
true, right?
And, you know, my father is Southern, okay? Mm-hmm. And my mother's a Bostonian. So I have the Yankee and, you know, the Southerner. And he is so hospitable. Like, that would be uncalled for, you know, and my mother's like, whatever, that's fine, that's what are they, you deal with it then. But the two separation is the Southerners, you also have the hospitable part where you just want to welcome everyone in. I feel like, and that makes a good comic.
We like to entertain down in the South. We like having people over, and we have the room to do that. You people have nowhere to park down here, by the way. I've never seen this many buildings and automobiles within a square mile radius with nowhere to put those damn things. Where do you park them? I mean,
good question, man. Not only can't we park them, we can't even drive them.
Did you see this? Y'all are crazy down here. Holy shit. Right. We almost got killed 3 times.
This, right? I know. But you know what? We do. It does have its benefits, and that's the thing. We have every convenience we could possibly want.
Yes, you do.
And you have the beaches and the snow, but you have the cars.
Yeah, you know, so you guys are sheltered in one way over there, but it's more like family and more like closer. I think as far as like social life, it's probably more developed there than it is here.
Yeah, because we keep ourselves isolated.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, with all the people around us, a lot of people are really lonely in LA.
Yeah, and very untrustworthy. In the South, everyone, again, it's also a feeling of like, anyone's welcome. Come on in. Like, there's a sense of, if you're lonely, you won't be for long in the South. And you know what I mean? But out here, it's like, you on your own.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a custom of lifestyle that a lot of people, you know, people are different everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And but people are the same everywhere you go too, you know. And so but yeah, I'm very proud of my humbled beginnings, and I like, you know, and I told you we went to eat last night. I don't remember where it was, some rooftop place over here. But anyway, we were eating, and they're like, are you having a good time? And I said, I am. And we were having, it was great. The service was wonderful. We were outside, and I was like Jessica, my assistant, said, could you live here? You know, could you? And I said, you know, yeah, I mean, I could live. I'd like to think I could do anything I put my mind to. I said, what I want to know, I like being in the South. I really do. But could I vacation here for 3 weeks at a time? Absolutely.
Yeah, why not? That's right.
I'm just get a house over here. And, just come and base. Yeah.
There you go. So this is very cool. So you grew up in a small town. I mean, essentially, that's what it is, right?
Yes.
Did you have, all in all, a nice childhood? I mean, did you feel that you were lucky?
Oh, absolutely, I was.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you had sisters.
I did, and I tell these jokes about, you know, Southern mama, you know, getting onto her kids and, you know, putting the empty box of Pop-Tarts back in the pantry. You know, don't do that if you've already eaten all of them. Why would you do that? Kind of things that we, you know, getting the kids to do their chores. And so, I mean, all this stuff that I put in the videos, these are things that I actually heard growing up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm very grateful for it, you know, because I keep a clean house.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know how to cook. Do you know how many? There are so many. I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, now you take It is amazing at how, you know,
stupid we are.
I mean,
what's funny is it's interesting.
Everybody, and that's everybody from the East Coast to the West. How many people in the younger generation cannot even do something as simple as
cook a chicken? It's
can't
like they took away home ec. I didn't have home ec because it was considered like sexist in my school. But man, I could have really used it, man.
Oh no, we had boys and girls in that class, and it was fun, and it taught
you can sew a button.
Know,
I bet.
Yeah. Well, I didn't need home ec. No. My Southern mother made damn sure that there would be times before she'd come in from work. You know, and she'd say, I want supper ready before I get home.
Wow.
And it was, and by gosh, it was done.
And you did it. That's right.
Damn right. And, you know, so the structure and the discipline was a lot different, but I'm very grateful for it. It's made me the person that I am today.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, but it's, yeah, it's heavy influence from those two, my grandmother and mother.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Now, you know, living in the South and everything, did you see... I mean, you're what, in your 30s now?
I just turned 30 in March.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thanks, yeah.
Wow. He looks like he's got the rest of his life still ahead of him.
Yeah,
he does.
That's awesome, like, man. Thanks. So now, in your childhood, though, did you see like racism, things like this going on around you?
Yeah, I think it's just an unfortunate trait of our lifestyle and our generation. And that being that generation of the last 200 years, I think that you're going to see racism anywhere you go.
Right.
I think it's such a waste, you know, so stupid. You know.
No,
a waste of time.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And, but it's almost like you see – how do I say this? It's almost like it's talked about more, it seems like, in metropolitan areas than it is in the South. Mm-hmm. Or not the South necessarily, but it is in these rural areas. You turn on the TV and you're like, oh gosh, you know, these country folk out here and this, you know, get her done, you know, and all this shit. But I mean, it's really, you hear more conversation in regards to racism and as far as what color somebody is in the metropolitan areas.
Wow,
I don't know.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
Know,
I mean,
yeah.
In the South, I mean, we have, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we're not in the 1920s anymore, but I mean, we don't really,
see that.
It's not
much.
Really addressed as people mm-hmm. much as people think yeah. it is. Mm-hmm.
Wow!
In the South.
I guess it depends what part of the country you're in. Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't know because we had Leah from Alabama, and she was talking about how to her it was very disruptive to see that. You know, she saw more of it, I guess, or whatever. You know,
and where was she at?
I don't know, in Alabama somewhere.
That's like when President Obama was running for office. I mean, half of my family voted for him. You know, and it wasn't. We didn't give a shit about what color. Look, you know, you're going to spin me off into another tangent here.
No, no, it's okay. Let's go somewhere else with this.
You know, it's like we live in a world where everything, it seems like a lot of people want everything given to them.
Yeah.
You know, and that is
especially
not...
Especially the new generation.
Yeah, and we talk about who's rich and who's poor, and y'all were talking about it a minute ago. And the thing I think that our country needs to understand, too, is from the beginning of time, and it will be until it ends, there will always be rich people and poor people. There are people that do not want to get up in the morning and go to work.
Right.
That does not mean that they should drive my Escalade. There'll always
Hallelujah.
Be rich people to pay, you know, to get, you know, so we have to get our money from somebody, you know. Somebody has to allocate that money. There has to be a chain of command to some extent. So should we give these same responsibilities to the homeless person in the road that doesn't want to work?
Right, that's true.
There's probably a lot, I'm sure, that do want to work. Yeah. But the ones that don't, everything can't be equal for everybody.
Right, exactly. You can't have an equal world. But Tori wants to have one.
I'm not saying anything.
You want to have
no,
one, right?
No, I'm not a communist. I'm not socialist.
I know.
But I do understand.
No,
yeah.
No, but when you talk about wanting a perfect world.
Yeah,
or
but I think there
the
are unnecessary obstacles in people's way that stop right. people who do want to work fairly. But there are a lot of obstacles that aren't their fault that are
right,
put in
their way. Right.
But I do agree that if you don't want to work, you don't want to work.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly, you know. But that's for another conversation altogether,
Absolutely.
Another show and stuff. But we want to keep it fun here.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, you're going to get me spiraling into that Republican line of thinking, I suppose. Yes.
We're going to go at it.
Yeah, because you're just visiting. We don't want you to get into anything.
Hell, I'll move in next week. We'll talk about this all year.
Exactly. There you go. So we're talking to Darren Knight. He's also known as Southern Mama. And so that's a social media. What is it? A series you created? Like a lot of them? Or?
It's just it is the most random thing. There's really no rhyme or reason. There's not even really a schedule on when I put videos out. I mean, we have been told that we put out a few videos for the following that we have. I think usually to keep people's attention, you have to put something out every 5-10 days. Well, we don't. We do maybe a video every once every 15 to 20 days, and it's like people are on their, you know, edge of their seat waiting for another one to come.
That's how you should do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come on.
Absolutely.
That's how you should do it. Don't do it ever all the time, because then they're going to be bored. Exactly. Overexposures, no. Then you're like, where's that Southern mama guy? Oh, there he is.
I like the way she
thinks. Yeah, that's
how
you do it. That's good.
There you go. You
know. Very good. No, I think that's smart.
Yeah.
So is it mostly on, what would you say is the best for Southern mama? Is it Facebook, Instagram?
Facebook.
Yeah,
all the way. All the way. I get so many questions about YouTube. Do you need to put these videos on YouTube and become famous?
Yeah.
No, no. YouTube is, I mean, it, you
it's
know,
overdone.
It's so overdone. And then, like, the money, I don't know if it had anything to do with Google buying them out, but the money, the time that you spend doing that versus the money that you actually get, a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So Facebook is a mass.
Right. Nobody comes close, right?
Nobody comes
even
close.
YouTube. Even YouTube, you say, doesn't come close to Facebook.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Interesting, because like only about, I swear to God, I would say about 5-8 years ago, that might have been switched.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's in that last 5 years where YouTube is inundated, and now it's like a pool that's, it's like a mall that's too busy. I can't shop there. I can't shop there.
Love it.
Too many people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now Facebook, I have a curated feed. I know, they know what I like. I don't like that they know what I like, but they do. Zuckerberg knows what I like. I'm getting animal pictures and homeless people, and I'm really trying to help them out. And I also get funny videos that I'm going to consistently see.
Yeah.
Facebook's where it's at.
I think so. And I agree, you know, because, look, YouTube, also Instagram, is sort of like a one-trick pony, you know. They do one thing very well. Facebook creates a community like I haven't seen before. Because you can actually have debates. You can have, Twitter, hard to do debates because everything's scattered all over the place.
It's a hard interface.
I think that social media is a lot kind of like, you know, things change. You know, in comedy, you know, people back in whatever, they thought the Three Stooges was the funniest thing they've ever seen.
Right.
And now it's, you know, almost kind of like, you know.
What is that?
Yo, that's kind of obnoxious. And, you know, so comedy changes, just like social media. You know, it was MySpace, and you had to make the profile, and you had to have the top 10 friends.
You had
to have your, there towards the end, you could even select music for your profile and this other shit. And it's just too much to keep up with. Well, Facebook was a lot more simple. And then now we're moving over into, like you said, Instagram and Snapchat. I've got two younger cousins that, you know, they pretty much live with me. One's 16, one's 17. And
they don't like Facebook.
No. They got one. Yeah. They don't get on a lot.
Yeah.
But now Snapchat, Instagram, and then that damn 8-ball pool game. Holy shit.
Oh, shoot. Now there's a new one?
Oh, my God. Are you not playing it yet?
No. I'm always behind. Behind.
I'm not addicted to all the little games. I think Angry Birds snagged me in for a couple weeks.
I'm a Candy Crush fellow.
Are you a Candy Crush?
I'm a victim of the
Candy
Crush.
Really? I'm Woods with Friends.
Yeah,
I'm
we
really
all have our time, right?
Yeah. Try the 8-ball pool thing. I mean, no promo, but just saying. I mean, it's so
okay. What is it, though?
It's just pool. Game.
Oh, you just play pool.
Yeah, your whole screen phone, your whole screen on your phone there is the pool table.
Oh,
yeah, and you got your little stick and you got your coins.
Is there sounds? I like when the candy goes. Ba-ding!
Oh, yeah, and it links up with your Facebook, so you can see when all your friends are playing, and it is a huge deal. I mean, by the time I downloaded it, which was really only a couple weeks ago, I mean, I'd say 60% of my Facebook friends were on this game.
Really?
It is really
weird how it just trends
overnight.
Like that?
Isn't that this game took off, and everybody where I come from is playing it.
Wow. It's like one guy sitting in Cincinnati, and he's like, this shall be trendy. Yeah. And then it all becomes trendy. All at once.
It's brilliant. I mean, I would... I wished I had the idea. Something as simple as a game that we've been playing for hundreds of years.
Yeah. But that's how you like the simple ideas. Like, Southern Mama isn't a confusing idea. That's an archetypal type of thing. Like, I have a Jewish mother. Like, that's funny. In my stand-up, like, that's what I use. Cause that's funny.
Yeah.
It's relatable.
Right.
But it's like, you don't use, it's not rocket science. It's, Southern Mama.
Right. And it's comedy. You know, it's original. And I think that's why people like it. It's original, right?
I do, too. And I think it gives, you know, it gives a lot of, people, I think it gives a lot of my fans a voice, so to speak. I mean, these are, you know, down in the South, it's a lot more traditional in the sense that, I mean, we have a lot of women that are bread makers for the family, and the men stay home or they'll both work or whatever. But a lot of the times, the women, you know, sometimes will stay home if they're not working moms.
Right.
And which, by the way, that is the hardest job. I mean,
and
where we come from, daycare is so expensive. And I mean, so it's more affordable for them to stay home with the 3 or 4 kids if they got, I mean, if you got over three kids, you might as well stay at home because you're not, you're going to be paying to work.
That's
what you're gonna do. So, I mean, and I think these women, they get up every morning, and I mean, they time their chores out. By the time this gets out of the dryer, I'll be done with the dishes. Ooh, by the time they, you know, and by the, you know,
it's a hectic life.
It is hectic life, and so giving these people a voice, you know, it's, and so I think that that was another thing that kind of struck a chord with a lot of them.
And also, like, when you talk about, like, it's not just your mom who can whoop your ass. Like, I'm like such a DC PC. I'm like, oh my god, there was abuse in the family. Like, shut up, like, right? It's not. But what I think is, Southerners would also get a kick out of that because that's relatable. It and is. No one's talking about it, right?
It is. I mean, you know, and that the corporal punishment is still very much alive down in the South. And you know, I don't advocate beating your kids or anything.
No, I know.
I mean,
like, you know, spanking all that.
There are different things that, you know, there's levels. Do I think you need to be spanking your 15-year-old daughter? No. There's, you know, take her car keys away and tell that little shit ass to sit down somewhere. You know, but there's levels. You know, if they're 5 or 6, pop them, you know, a little, little pat on the butt, you know, and they get older, you take their Nintendo away, they'll want to, you know, blow their head off then.
True.
And if they're 16, you take their key. There's different levels of punishment. And so, but when we stop, you know, pussyfooting around and stop being afraid to do that,
then you get kids that are out of control. Like, when I work retail and I see the moms not paying attention and they're screaming and they're sticky, and I'm like, man, I wish you had just had the discipline to be like, get your ass over here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we have so many parents out there now that they're letting the children raise them. You know, let me tell you something. Spank their ass when they're 16 or they'll be beating the hell out of you when they're at 16.
Yeah, right.
Spank them when they're 6 so they're not tearing you up at 16.
You see, listen to Southern Mama. She knows.
That's right.
Yeah. Talking to Darren Knight, of course. How can people watch your videos?
Yeah, well, you can go to comediandarrenknight.com, or you can go to we have a fan page on Facebook, and that is the one that I'd suggest to go to. And it's got, we have, you can click on events, you can see all the upcoming shows we have, all the shows that we've done. You can see all the episodes. We keep the page rather clean. There's a couple of advertisements on there, but once you scan, you know, roll on through there, we keep those clean and weeded out, and we keep all the videos listed from A to B. So you're check them out. Facebook would be the best way. They're also on YouTube as well, so just YouTube search or Google search Darren
Sounds
Knight.
Good. Okay, here, I'm on your website now, and I want to check out the Facebook page. And obviously everything is there. Real life comedy when you need to laugh.
How long are the videos?
They're like, some of them are a minute, 40 seconds. Some of them are 5 minutes.
Yeah, but not like 10 to 20.
No,
yeah, I can't imagine.
Attention spans are very short for Americans, too, and I'm one of them.
I am, too.
Now, I mean, this guy is not kidding. I mean, he's got 1.5 million people.
It's crazy that it just
blossoms.
What is
this, man? How do you get something like this?
Well,
This is unbelievable. I mean, let me ask you this, because I always said this. If you have that many, can you become rich from that? I mean, when you have 1.5 people following you, you can make money, right? That's a big audience.
Yes, you can. Right. Well, you know, I mean, I had never done stand-up before.
Wow.
And so... And I, you know, I'm not trying to insult the profession, because I mean, I'm very lucky, and I know I'm very lucky. I mean, there's people that go to little barroom taverns for 8 years before they even, you know. So, and I get that, but I mean, you know, as far as like how much time I've invested in it, I've been doing comedy my whole life,
exactly. Yeah.
And anybody that asks anybody, well, how long have you been doing comedy? If you really know comedy and you're a comedian, you know the answer to that is sporadic. You've been told all your life you're so funny, you should be on radio, you should be on TV, you should be on there. You've always been the center of attention, so you've been doing comedy
your whole life.
That's what God put you here to do.
Yeah,
well, I believe in
Tori relates to that. Yes. She's like that.
Came out of the womb like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I just got lucky is what I got. And yes, you can make money. I mean, I started doing the stand-up comedy at the exact same time that I did the videos. Mm-hmm. And then once they took off and John reached out to me and signed up with, you know, Bang Productions, the rest was history. We started booking smaller venues. And, you know, and it takes most comedians take out a loan to do what we're doing, to go on a tour. And we've been able to fund it, and we've been so blessed. Yeah. And all these venues have been selling out. So that's literally how it happened. So can you make money with this?
I mean, that's what you're delivering to an advertiser is the audience, you know.
Yeah.
And 1.5 followers,
it's a huge
just
amount
on
of
Facebook
eyeballs.
Alone.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, too, is a lot of people do a one-hit wonder viral video and they can't get it back. So there's something consistently working, which isn't a lot of people to get, again, more and more people continually watching your videos.
It is. Well, there's material for this character for days. And not only that, but I mean, you got a lot of people all across this country and all across the world that can film themselves in their mom's basement all day long by themselves.
Right. Right.
But when you put them in front of 2,500 people, you know,
shy up.
It is hard. And so I just got very lucky, and I was, you know, able to. When this whole first started, I was nervous, nervous. I mean,
you don't know,
especially if you haven't done it.
Yeah, no, and exposing yourself to the world. I mean, you know, you could be, you could end up with a lot of ridicule and haters.
Well, comedy's like open heart surgery in front of a lot of people. Yeah, it's a very vulnerable place to be.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it most certainly is.
So, folks, you know, if you want something interesting and fun, 1.5 million people can't be wrong.
No.
Check out ComedianDarrenKnight.com and you'll find out a lot more about him and, of course, on Facebook. Do you do a lot of Instagram, too? Do you find...
I do have an Instagram. Yeah, I just, you know, to be Mr. Social Media, I am the least.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not into it.
No, I'm not into it. I'd rather be out doing, you know, hanging out with my buddies or doing something, you know. And so, I am on Instagram. I am on Snapchat at Darren and Knight. You can follow me through both of those at that title there.
So. Right. There you go.
But you don't want to, like, again, you don't want to, like, spread it out. No. Keep the concentrate on the Facebook.
I do random stuff. Like, I'll still post videos. Like, I'll do the filters on Snapchat.
Yeah.
I'll do something crazy. I kind of made myself laugh on this. There are some videos that I just posted to Instagram from Snapchat where I'm using the filter to kind of utilize some other characters. So, no, it's not Darlene. It's not Southern Mom, but it's something a little bit different. You know,
cool.
And so, yeah.
Trying stuff out.
Yeah, you guys should check it out. So, that's not really your faces here, right? I mean, there's like, there's some Snapchat stuff here that's really funny. But I don't know which is your face actually in the video. I haven't watched the video. So let me check that out and see. But very handsome man.
Oh,
I don't see how you ended up as a mama. But, you know, I mean.
It's funnier than a dad for some
there
reason.
You go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. So, so what are the plans from here? What are you going to do with all this now?
I don't even know.
No?
I really don't. I'm just going
to... I mean, do you have anything that you want to do? Anything specifically?
Well, yeah. I just... this is all happening so fast. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really know what I want to
do. Do you want to do a film?
Yeah, I do. We did the filming the other day on the video that I was telling you about that we filmed during Christmas time. And so that was really like the first acting experience. I mean, like, that was the first time I had two cameramen standing there, mm-hmm. you know, and a sound guy, mm-hmm. and makeup waiting to change the character out. And everybody's looking at you. And when you're on stage, you know, acting, I have a whole newfound respect for actors and actresses because, you know, when you're, as a comedian, when you're on stage, and I know you can probably relate, the energy that you're getting from the laughter and the crowd keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go buck wild. I mean, I'll run across the stage. I mean, if they're laughing, they're giving me energy. And it's great. That's what they come to pay for. But when you're acting, you're trying to keep that same momentum up. But those 12, 15, 20, 30 people that are looking at you are just looking at you like, God,
yep.
Hurry up. Yeah.
Totally different energy.
Ready to go to lunch. Yeah. You know, this bitch, hurry up. Like, and they're not laughing. You're not getting energy from, and you're just like, it's so awkward.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
awkward.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know what I want to do. I mean, if that's direction that you know that I should go in. I'm just
like
literally
books. You could do books. You could do anything.
We talked about that too. I don't know. It's just I'm not a writer.
I know you could be. You like to be
exactly.
in front of the camera. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's his strong forte. Yeah. That's what he's famous for.
He's good with live interaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, not everybody's into writing and stuff. Like, for example, I couldn't do what you're doing with the video. You know.
Come on.
I mean, physically you can do it, but. To live with it, you know, to be able to be that vulnerable, like you said, you know. You see, I don't think I could do that. I could probably write very well. But so everybody's got their strong
Everybody's suits, different,
you know, yeah. And this is amazing that you've done this. Do you think you could repeat this success again if you did something completely different? I mean, you figured out a formula or something?
I'm glad that people appreciate the character and that they like her and they can relate to her and all that jazz. But, I mean, could I do another character? I mean, I think that if it was something that I was passionate about and I could kind of picture going on in my head, I think I could.
Because what's good about Southern Mama is it's so filled out. It's so real and close to you that you can pick it up in an instant.
Absolutely.
And it's three-dimensional, the character, because you know it like the back of your hand.
Yeah.
So when you do a fake one, it's much harder to be like,
it is.
Now I'm the Sherpa from Nepal.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have enough momentum, I think.
To do a lot of stuff. And,
And like you said, you know, like with me growing up with all the women and being able to, you know, vividly remember that and seeing my friends and the things that they deal with. And it's just a plethora of material.
Yeah, there's so much for you.
So much to work with that character. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
That's why it worked.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. So you guys got to check out Darren's videos. I mean, they're, you know, they're all over the place here. Southern Mamas. At the high school football game. Yeah. I mean,
there's random moments. It's just moments.
It's so crazy.
What's going on there, you know?
Waiting in lines. Yeah. Waiting in line.
I like being in public and people will scream out something or they'll holler out something that they heard in the videos, you know, like Darlene is always yelling at Randy. She's, damn it, Randy Hale. You know, and so that we ended up like people, I would be like shopping somewhere and people would scream out, damn it, Randy Hale. And I turn around, you know, so we actually slapped it on a t-shirt and ran with it. So, and it's one of our top sellers on our clothing line.
This guy is a born entrepreneur. Yeah, now he's making t-shirts logos.
Yeah, he's got a whole shop thing on his website.
This guy, very smart.
Check it out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, build a brand. Why not?
Yes,
why not?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You know, you got to stand out somehow. And you know what? That's why I salute you for that. Because if nothing else, I know because we're in media. I see what's going on. And it's so hard to stand out because there's so much going on. Mm-hmm.
That's what I said when I got off the plane down here. You know, I said, you know, John, I don't even, I mean, back where I come from, you know, people are, wanting to take selfies.
Yeah, right,
I feel like a celebrity, you know. And then around here, it's just like, you're another number. Get back.
Exactly.
You know? And that's okay. And that's good because there has to be different. And, you know, there's a lot of people that work in the entertainment industry that live in this city. But there's people all over the world. They have fans all over the world. And
exactly. So, and this is your niche. You're in the South. You know, you don't need to be in L.A. to succeed and to be able to do this.
You really don't. You know, and that's like, I think Nashville and Atlanta, like there have been a ton of celebrities moved to the Nashville area.
Nashville and Atlanta is the hottest place for any comic. Atlanta, Nashville, they're so hot right now. And it's like, it just goes to different places, you know?
And y'all need to kick some of these damn people out of here. I mean, y'all got so many people running around. I mean, y'all ain't got, but I love it here. I swear, I don't want to get on the plane. I don't want to go home now.
We'll stay for a couple more weeks.
Absolutely.
Have you met fascinating people here?
Still? I have got to meet a few people on the plane in Atlanta. We flew over here. I got to meet Deshaun Watson. He's Clemson University's quarterback. They just won the national championship against the University of Alabama, university that I'm very much a big fan of. I say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
But I got to meet him. I got to meet several football players last night at that place. The restaurant went to Catch, I think.
Oh, nice. Catch is great.
It was so good. Oh, the food was amazing. I mean, if you never been, you got to go. And so we went there and met up with some really cool people. And so, yeah. It's been really
That's nice. Awesome. That's nice. Well, Darren Knight, Southern Mama, thank you so much. Tell people again how they can find you.
Yeah.
How they can find your videos.
Yeah. Comedian DarrenKnight.com or Facebook. Facebook / Darren Knight. You can Google Darren Knight. You can Google me now. That's the craziest thing ever, by the way. And so, Google Darren Knight / Southern
Exactly.
Mom.
You know, I'm
when you
I'm
become
one
Googleable.
Where,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, in today's world, you don't have to give out websites, not even handles. You just take a name, Google it. You'll find all the social media right there. You know what I mean? Everything's there for you. Utilize Google. You know what I mean? Here I am promoting them and everything.
I'm sure they're good.
They helped us.
Well, we just beat them up on YouTube, so we can at least give them a pat on the back.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, Google and YouTube came to us and they offered to do a promotional video for us, so we'll advertise with them. Because we already are and all that. So we did the video here and they're just the nicest people, but they control everything.
Yes, they do.
They're gods. Right? Gods. Oh, yeah.
They control everything. Oh, yeah. Man.
The internet, they are. Largest search engine in the world.
Yeah. Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank y'all so much
You're
for
amazing.
Having me here.
Much more success to you.
Thank
you. Folks, like I said, 1.5 million can't be wrong. What's the highest viewership you have on a video?
I think the last video that we did, it used to be the baseball mom video, but that video got surpassed with the last one that we did about the snow. I think that video is at 26 million
damn,
right now.
Gina.
26 or 27.
God damn.
Can you imagine that many people seeing
God
you?
Dang. I would be so happy.
I'm sure you would. Well, just go on his video. Be a guest.
Trust
one
me.
Time.
I'm going to be emailing. Yeah, no, I'm going to get it.
Kiss up to.
Yeah, always.
Tell me something. Do you get other people on your videos and stuff? You have to.
No.
It's got to be the brand.
Really? So it's a one person.
It is. Deal. And we just did. I don't know if you ever seen the or another promo here, but you ever seen the Progressive commercial with Flo?
Yeah.
Where she's all of the characters.
Yeah.
Okay, we did that. Mm. That's hard, by the way. But it was so much fun.
She's a groundling. I mean, she's a professional improviser, so that worked out well for her. But that's hard.
Yeah, it is very hard. Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy has done that too.
Yeah,
being a million characters.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did do that.
Awesome. All right, well, Darren, thank you again for joining us.
Well, thank y'all
have
so much for having me.
Home.
Yes, sir.
Of course. Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us on MLK Day.
Yes, be good to be each other. Compassion.
Yeah, learn some love for crying That's out right. loud. All right, everybody, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.